Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. How is that for an introduction? I love it. Hello, everybody. This is Mary Brotherton with Be Unique Magazine. I am here as your host on Manifest Monday. And today it's all about the hugs and hustle of Victoria Brannon. And I can tell you, folks, if Victoria can hug like her mama does, ooh, boy. And I bet you hustle twice as hard. Victoria was raised on the Space Coast of Florida. And that is kind of a small business central. We've got a really good Small Business Association here. She created and filed her first LLC at 18. My Lord, high. At 18, what was I doing? It was not building a business. It was not. But she jumped right into networking. She started off as an entertainment company, but now 8 years later, it's a marketing and sales coaching company. She learned from a lot of people what not to do, trusted her gut, and pivoted when she needed to. And I would say, let's just bring Victoria in and start talking about how she manifested all this into her life. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I am fabulous. It's Monday, one of my favorite days of the week. Actually, I have seven favorite
Manifest
days.
Manifest Monday.
Well, yeah. But I say that everything's my favorite, but it's because I love everything equally. I am in love with my life. I'm in love with the world. And I definitely do like this show. It's one of my favorites.
That's beautiful.
Of my top favorites. Things to do on Monday is have a manifest show. So what made you go into business at 18, for crying out loud? Most girls are going to the prom at 18.
Well, I definitely went to the prom, and I definitely was not out of trouble, that's for sure. But I just throwing that in there. But I've been kind of freelancing since I was 13. I started making a paycheck, and I love to dance. And so I just started teaching dance classes, and I actually ended up running like a dance studio at 16, managing their books, managing the whole studio, organizing like their schedule and events and teaching dance. And so I think I just kind of learned early on, you know, the power of, you know, learning how to hone your skills in for management and project management and getting to know people and networking. And I also, you know, had a very influential mother and grandmother, thankfully. So I was raised very strong woman empowerment background. And, you know, my grandma's been a hustler. She's, you know, done the sales thing. She was in title and real estate and was marketing. And so she taught me a lot of things. And then same with my mom, just new business entrepreneur. She loves starting new businesses and she's really great with people and networking and just loving on people. So I had a pretty good influence to get to 18. I kind of just decided I'll eventually work for myself. It didn't, you know, just jump off right off the bat, but I knew that that's what I wanted in my future.
Very cool. And you quit teaching dancing and started teaching marketing?
Yeah, I know. It's like a kind of a weird loop. But so I
wouldn't you say that
really quickly? Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that anybody in any business needs to learn to market?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No matter what you're doing, even if you're in corporate, I mean, it's all about like decision making and, you know, making people see your, not your worth or value, but technically in business, you know, letting them like see your true colors and how you shine, even in a 9-to-5, even in anything. It's like, how do you get the best out of life? Well, you have to learn how to market yourself.
That's true. That is so true. Because you can't be afraid and sit back and be shy and wait for somebody else to put you in the spotlight.
Exactly.
I think.
You have to take inspired action.
Yes.
With belief.
So how does manifesting play into your life?
So this has kind of been a new thing for me. I think, you know, growing up, I was born and raised Christian non-denominational. So I was, you know, grew up in the church and learned a lot about manifesting in a spiritual way. And so for, you know, religious people, a lot of the time it looks like prayer. You know, meditation looks like prayer. Manifesting looks like praying out to God and keeping faith, right?
Right.
And so just through my journey of life, it's been funny because when you learn about manifestation and you learn about God and you, it's like so in line, you know, and you kind of have this like full circle. I had a full circle moment. And I just started my manifestation journey, like really head dive, early last year in 2020. And when I was learning about this stuff, I was kind of shocked at how much I just adapted to it really quickly and got to like absorb it really well. And I realized it was because of my background in Christianity and learning how it kind of just goes in line, and just getting to explore this new version of spirituality as an adult woman, which is really powerful. So, I mean, it's very strong in my life today. And, you know, it's something we have to work on every day because most of the time, you know, we don't wake up 24/7, like, you know, just joyful and happy most of the time. Yeah. But some days are hard, you know, and that's when manifestation, I think, comes into play big time, especially like,
yes,
you know, what we listen to. And that's been something for me lately that I'm like, I've been listening to some old songs, like, oh, I love this song. And I listen and I'm like, well, no wonder I was having problems. The lyrics in this song. Goodness gracious.
Yeah,
like,
sometimes the lyrics.
The wrong thing.
Exactly. And people don't realize that really and truly, so I say that manifesting is mindful prayer. It's so easy to say, please, God, make this life better. Or please, God, give me more
right.
money. Give me this, give me that. Take that person mm-hmm. away. Help me out, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But if you're mindful with your prayer,
mm-hmm.
then you're not just asking God, or I call him Gus, God, universe,
yeah.
spirit, you know,
yeah.
it's I'm like, you're not asking the source to make your life better. You're willing to take the steps required because manifesting
mm-hmm.
is not a magic pill.
No.
It is kind of magical, but it's not a magic pill.
Oh, yeah.
It's not hard. It's so much easier than people think.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What?
Well, I think a lot of the times I get like people get frustrated. I think people who are kind of stuck in this like old way, or they're just, it's their habits, right, that they're used to. And they get frustrated when they hear the word manifestation or, you know, all this magical stuff to them. It's kind of like really separated because in their mind, all they've experienced with that is, well, I just sit on the couch and, you know, things will happen. And it's like, that's not what that means at all. Just like prayer, we release it to God, but we have to take the actionable steps to be able to
exactly.
see it to fruition, you know? It's like, you have to do something.
Well, even if you're praying, you can't just
mm-hmm.
you know, get on your knees and hold your prayer beads
right.
and make all these signs of whatever supplication you need to make and ask for it to
yep.
happen and then sit back on the couch and watch TV.
Right.
You've got to do something. And I think one of the first things you have to do is express your gratitude. But not only expressing it, but living it.
Yes.
Don't you think gratitude
yes.
plays
Feeling
a big part in manifesting?
Oh, goodness. That is something that has changed my life when I suffer like with anxiety. I think a lot of people do. And, you know, any time that I start to feel that, I've acknowledged when I kind of know the signs now when I start to slip into that hole. And that's the first thing I do is I just am like, three things I'm grateful for. You know, what is it? Doesn't matter what it is. It could be, you know, so simple. And I just sit and I close my eyes and I just feel thankful for those things and
you know,
I say them out loud.
Exactly. And sometimes I can be grateful for the anxiety. Because
oh, yeah.
the anxiety is proof to me that I care about
mm-hmm.
something, that I am, I'm concerned. You know, what, no matter what the anxiety is, whether it's over your child, your pet, your mother, you know, I'm anxious because I have to go see my mom, and I know she's not going to be happy that I adopted six kittens today or whatever. But anxiety can come in all kinds of shapes and forms. But if you're anxious, acknowledge that and be grateful that you have a mind that is advanced enough to be anxious.
Right.
Because there are
there are
people with disabilities, developmental disabilities, that don't have a care in the world because they can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, be grateful that your mind is so far advanced that you have anxiety. But also, then I think at that point, I have to stop and go, okay, I'm grateful that I can be anxious, but I'm grateful that I can get over this anxiety. And
exactly.
I'm also grateful,
like
I'm grateful
catch and
to have these. Yeah, I'm grateful to have these six dozen kittens, you know, whatever the case might be. But I tend to sometimes have trouble falling asleep. And rather than getting anxious over that, I'll start reciting things that I'm grateful for. And it's sometimes just as simple as I have sheets on the bed. Whether they're clean or not doesn't matter. I have sheets. I have a bed.
Exactly.
I have a house.
Oh, yeah.
My house doesn't leak. And it's almost like an avalanche. Once I start thinking about one thing that I'm grateful for, it leads to another thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that I'm grateful for aren't things. They are people and their experiences.
Exactly.
And that's important, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, more than just things. It's like just everything, people, experiences. That's something with me, like the other side of anxiety that I deal with a lot is like the anxious part of staying in the past. And so I have to visit a lot of, because I've had like, you know, past relationship trauma and just really like some messed up stuff. And so that's something that I've learned to welcome in my life is, you know, like you said, that hyperactive kind of brain, but it's like, I'm thankful for it because I'm able to almost like see situations from like an aerial view when you have anxiety. I don't know if that happens to you or not, but you kind of see all the, because your brain is so like, what about this and this and this and this situation and scenario? You can kind of see like everything from a bird's eye view. And that's helped me really be able to step out of the moment passing of feeling anxious and see it for what it is, love on it, acknowledge it, but then like let it go. It's like a ball. Like someone throws you a ball and you're like, wow, look at this ball. It's blue. That's great. Here you go. Just like roll it away and let it go, you know? So it's the practice of like the catch and release, whatever the anxious thought or moment is. It's like, how do we recognize it? Cause if you don't, that's when it comes back way bigger. When you try to like just forget about it or push it aside, you know, you got to love on it.
Yeah. And I think that love is also another major key to manifesting. You have to have a heart that's full of love and gratitude, but you also have to have the ability and the willingness to work for what you want.
Yeah. To get up off that couch.
Yeah. What is the strangest thing that you've ever manifested?
Actually, I just was talking about this the other day with my boyfriend. It's really funny. So I kind of had this irrational fear. It's not irrational, I guess, but when I was 16, I started all of a sudden out of nowhere. I don't know if it came from a movie, but I started just becoming really scared every time I was on the highway of a hubcap on the car in front of me popping off, bouncing and rolling and coming right through the windshield and just like killing
me. Wow. You had to have seen that movie.
I know. I was like, where did this come from? For some reason, I couldn't find the like seed, you know, like when was this planted? And so like, I just, every time was just, you know, we harp on stuff and that's all I was thinking about, being anxious. And then we're in the car, me and my girlfriend at the time, we were heading to like Halloween Horror Night. And so we're driving in the car and the car in front of us, the hubcap popped off, bounced down the highway and hit the windshield right where I was sitting. of course, it was a plastic hubcap, so, like, you know, it didn't do anything.
Well,
and
so there
my
goes
best
your,
friend,
your fears. Poof.
Right? And I was like, you know, and I was frozen. And I finally, and when it happened, I was like, oh, my gosh. I was like, well, that wasn't that bad. Goodness gracious. I was like,
all
right.
I've been afraid of
this
all
that.
My life.
Yeah. And so that was, first of all, manifested very quickly. It was only a couple weeks of thinking about that, and then it happened. And for me, like, I just take that as like, all right, God, thank you for that. We're gonna work on that, and not think about stuff like that so much.
That's important to bring up too, because a lot of people think that manifesting is just asking for stuff and getting what you want, but you can manifest bad things too.
Oh yeah.
And
Which is why song lyrics are so important, you know, especially
yeah.
these sad ones about, like, breakups and cheating and, you know, detachment and all this. It's like, watch what you're saying over and over again, singing it with emotion. You know, you want to talk about manifesting, tie the words with an emotion, and there you go.
Oh, yeah. And then sing it all day long.
Oh, yeah. On repeat. I was
yeah.
telling you, those songs, I was like, wow, no wonder I was having some serious trouble with relationships back then. Goodness gracious.
it's really interesting because I never wanted to get a divorce. I got a divorce
yeah.
after 25 years, and I never thought about the concept of divorce. I got married, that was for life.
Yeah.
But my
yeah.
my ex manifested our divorce by talking about what would happen if we did get a divorce. If we ever decide, because people our age were getting divorces, and, you know,
yeah.
like, we'd be like, well, there goes another one. He'd say, well, if that ever happens to us, let's do so-and-so. If that ever happens to us, let's do this. And, you know, and for 2 years, this was going on, and I realized that, you know, much after the fact that he actually had manifested our divorce. I didn't even think about it.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, there's planning and prepping, but then, like, let it go, you know,
yeah.
like maybe if you have the idea come up and, like, you know, like, talk about maybe financial situation. Right. And it's like, well, you know, oh, I lost my job or this happened. If for some reason it doesn't happen in 4 months, this is the outcome, you know, it's like,
right.
Okay.
Well,
let's say that once, but let it go. You know,
people make estate. People call it estate planning. So that
yeah.
they don't say when I die planning, but
right.
yeah, there are some people who focus on that all the time, and guess
oh,
what?
Yeah.
Somebody's going to die early.
I know.
But,
it's so horrible. It's horrible. You hear it in other people when they talk, and you're like, ooh, like, I don't know about you. My whole body, like, gets, like, tense. I'm like, oh gosh.
Well,
I hope
after
you don't repeat that.
My mother died. And 6 months later, my father-in-law died. 6 months after that, my sister-in-law died. And I told my husband, I said, we should probably start thinking about writing a will. Well, we haven't.
Right. Yeah.
We still haven't done it. We'll probably both die intestate. And, you know, our children will get whatever's
right.
left over, which isn't going to be much anyway. But
yeah.
it's really funny because we talk about it, but we never do anything about it because it's not a fun thing to think about. But
I know.
But it's okay. We're so busy living every moment of our life that
yeah.
we just don't think of the death as part of our life.
Right, yeah. It's just a byproduct.
Yes. So when you're manifesting, what does that sound like? What? How would you create something with a manifest statement?
This is something that I think I'm consistently evolving and learning and kind of
oh, yes,
refining
we all are.
How I do this, because it's, you know, it always starts out so simple, right? It's like, okay, God, I want, or universe or spirit, like, all right, I'm going to this, you know, I'm going to make $1,000 next week. You know, and then it turns into, thank you, universe, for providing this $1,000 next week for me. I'm so thankful for that, you know. And so it's like, it's switching from, like, asking for it, kind of like what you were mentioning before, into, like, it's already happened. And so for me, a lot of the manifesting that I do is a lot of affirmations about self-worth, about radical receiving. I own a business, so like that's a huge thing of being like, hey, I'm worthy of like paid in full clients. I'm worthy of radical receiving. I'm worthy of feeling confident in the value I provide. And those are the kinds of things that I say to myself every day, not necessarily in like a ritualistic thing, but it's a part of my morning routine. And, you know, you say it enough, you believe it about yourself, right? And
yeah.
So I think the biggest thing, though, like I said before, is just instead of asking for something, just deciding that it's already happened and thinking and showing gratitude for that. It's already placed in your path. It's just a little bit further down the road, you know, and then releasing the how that's going to happen.
What you said, the way you evolved it is kind of what I do with my journal. I have a manifest journal that I use. And I'll write down what I want. Sometimes it's just the word. And
right.
Then I try to imagine how to say it. And there are times I express it four or five different ways before I realize, wait a minute, I'm using some negative words in here that are disguised as positivity.
Yeah.
That's the trick.
Yes.
I think, sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, when you finally get to that point is of, I love having clients who pay me in full immediately.
Yes.
Then
yes.
you know you've got your statement, but you have to build up to that sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because some days especially you just wake up and you're like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Today is the day.
And some days are Mondays. Some weeks have seven Mondays in them, and it's painful.
Yep.
Do you use any kind of tools like a journal to manifest anything at all?
Yeah, I have a few different journals. I'm kind of a journal psycho. I'm one of those, like, I just love to go get new journals, and I don't think I finish any of them. But I have recently this journal, and I have little prompts in them, and I try to just write a little blurb. Some days it's hard for me to get things done, so I try to stick to like one sentence, and then that way it feels a little bit easier for my brain to accomplish. But yeah, I have a manifestation journal. I use sticky notes like crazy, and so I have those kind of everywhere in my office, just as like subliminal messaging a little bit too. As I walk by, I kind of glaze over it and read it. So I'm also saying it and seeing it constantly. But yeah, I love journaling. That's one of the things that really helped me dive into healing and manifestation and just overcoming some real past trauma stuff, not overcoming, but the journey of that. And one of the accounts that I used for relationship trauma and like kind of coming back to self was Rising Woman. And they're all about conscious partnership and how it starts with you, and really, really great journal prompts on that account. They have a Facebook and an Instagram and a website. And I love it. Journal prompts are great. It helps me on the days where I just don't know what to say.
Yeah, there are always days. And this is why I say, I started out the show and I'd say, because Jennifer calls me a manifest master, but I don't think anybody can ever really master it. We're all students of manifesting. And I think we can all learn more and more and more every day. Sometimes we learn a little bit. Sometimes we learn a lot. And it doesn't matter if you learn nothing more than you are worth it. You deserve this.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's
and there are
I
times
I remind myself of every day is you deserve
well,
this.
It sounds like some of your past relationships have played into that. And these are lessons that we were sent here to learn. We were all sent here to learn specific lessons. And some of us, myself included, big time, we need God to smack us upside the head with a 2x4 to get our attention.
Oh, yeah. Some of us don't need so many, like, of the same lessons over and over again, but some of us, me, same, is we need that lesson over and over again sometimes. So the stubbornness just escapes us, and we're like, okay, I see it now. Thank you.
Yes. And I think it's important, especially for people who are trying to manifest their best life, to stop and take a look inward and see where you are.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see why you may not be manifesting what you actually want. And usually it's the way you express your language, you know. It's how you how you talk about yourself, how you feel about yourself. And when I realized, thank you, Lynn Grabhorn. She wrote a book called Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. And I must have read probably 20 years ago. She says we're all God's. She says we're all God's seeds.
Hmm.
Every one of us is a seed of God. Just like if you plant a tomato, you're going to get a tomato. You plant a cucumber, you're going to get a cucumber. So God planted us, and we're all walking around in various stages of our God growth.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized, wow, I can create more than just babies.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty impressive for most women. I created this.
Oh, yeah.
And now that I've got adult sons and grandchildren, I look at them and I'm like, I did that. I made that. But I can also make happiness. I can manifest. I think the strangest thing I ever manifested was, it's similar to your hubcap. I've never cared for frogs. I especially never cared for tree frogs. And even though they're cute, and some of the ones in the Amazon have medicinal powers, I really did not like the Cuban tree frogs when I first met them here in Florida. And I will go so far as to say I hated them. And so I constantly thought about, I hate frogs. I am scared of frogs. I don't like frogs. I don't like da la la la. And then one day I started thinking about how do I manifest these frogs out of my life?
Yeah.
And so I started thinking, well, even though they're not native, they're invasive, they eat a lot of stuff that I don't want, like mosquitoes. And so I started saying, frogs are my friends.
Yeah.
And I had to keep repeating this. Frogs are my friends. I didn't believe it at first. And I didn't want to believe it because there is, in my mind, I know there are a lot of people probably listening. So I think frogs are so cute. And they may be. You know, they got those big buggy eyes and those long springy legs. But the Cuban tree frogs would startle me. They'd jump and startle me. And sometimes I'd open up my car and there'd be one sitting on the dashboard. I remember
they hide too.
Yes, they hide and they come out at the most inappropriate times.
Yeah.
So I had three on my dashboard one day. And these were the small little tree frogs. They weren't big, so they weren't
like the
terrible scary. But I wasn't going to touch them. No, sir. But after I had a little hissy fit in front of my daughter-in-law, I said, you know, this is not grandmotherly. I should not be afraid of frogs. So I just started repeating, frogs are my friends. I can't tell you the last time I saw a frog.
See, that's awesome.
It's like they go away. And it's that way with people. Now, you cannot, this is something that I think is really important.
Yeah.
We've talked about relationships. If you ever say, I don't want this person in my life, or I want this person gone from my life, number one, you're dealing with another person, and they may cross-manifest you. But those are negative. So the best way to get a good, healthy relationship is to just say, I surround myself with positive, loving, kind people who believe in me.
I love that. Yes.
And it sounds like that's what you've done in your life.
Yeah.
You've replaced the negative language.
The
yeah.
Exactly. That's something that, I mean, I have to practice that very consciously because, networking and just being around people, I mean, you know how it is. It's like you're going to naturally just attract people because of, like, your energy, you know? And so you have to kind of have the eyes to see those red flags ahead of time and continuously, you know, I say it a little differently. I'm kind of like, when it comes to prayer, I'm like, all right, God, you know, if this is something that's going to be fruitful in my life and life-giving, you know, I pray that this door just, not even a door, but like the Kool-Aid man just like busts through the wall. Right? And if it's,
oh yeah,
like, you know, I don't even mess around with doors. I'm like, knock the building down. But if not meant for me, slam the door shut in my face. Do not even let me cross the threshold. And when I tell you, he just rips me through life.
I love it.
He goes, "Do you want it cut off?" Heard, and it's cut off. I mean, immediately.
Cut and cauterized.
Seriously. Oh yeah. Or it's like something seriously like questionable where I'm like, "Whoa, red flag." Okay. And you know, I've gotten to the point now I don't even question it anymore. I'm like, "Thank you, gut feeling, discernment. That's all I needed to see."
I think. That gut feeling, discernment, intuition,
beautiful,
is probably one of the hardest things for most people to recognize.
Oh, especially if you've dealt with mental abuse where people have like gaslit you and told you you're just crazy and you're just anxious or threatened or jealous or whatever it is. I mean, if you're feeling that in your stomach, like gross, throw up, but that is real. And I have learned my lesson where you want to talk about someone having the same lesson multiple times, you know, and I finally listened and I finally was like, wow, okay. You know, and so now I don't, like I said, I don't mess around. I feel that and I'm like, nope, the devil's already busy enough. I don't have time.
Yeah. How many times, Victoria, have you been thinking about someone and then you open up social media and there's a post all of a sudden out of the blue, or you get a text.
Yep.
It happens.
Every time almost.
Yeah. And you know, for me,
it's like, oh, are you okay?
Oh. And sometimes, and I think people forget how important that is. And I'll just give you a real life example that happened to me way before cell phones. Everything was back in the day when this was long, you know, long distance was real. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
You had to pay for it.
Yeah.
I lived in South Carolina, and I went to church with a woman named Margie. Didn't know her very well. I knew she was a member of our church. I knew she had children older than mine. I was the mother of two young boys, and I was busy, very busy. Had a full-time job, going to college late in life. And one day, I got out of bed, and I driving to work, and I thought, I should call Margie when I get to the office. To the office, I forget about it. You know, I don't know Margie. And this went on for 2 weeks. Every single day, three, four times a day, I'd think, I should call Margie. And then I would talk myself out of it. Why would I call Margie? I've got nothing to say to her. I don't even know her. What would I say? And a mutual friend of ours who had moved to Wisconsin had called me, and she said, "Mary, you need to call Margie." I said, "You know, I've been thinking about doing that for 2 weeks." I said, "Why would you say that?"
Crazy.
She said, "Because God just told me how dumb you are, how stubborn you are. You need to listen to that little voice that says, call Margie and call Margie." He said, he figured
that external source.
If you wouldn't listen to him, you might listen to me. Well, that helped me understand what that voice is. That sensation. And I try really hard to never ignore it, because that same voice many years later was the one that prompted me to leave my ex. But again, 2 years, I'm stubborn. I'm not sure if it's stubborn, or I guess I would say I'm obtuse. I'm very thick-headed. Yeah. I've always been a contemplative prayer ever since I learned how to do it, which is basically just sitting in God's presence, not actually talking and just listening.
Yeah.
So I did
absorbing.
That. Yes, I existed. And yes. It's not an easy thing to learn, and it's not always an easy thing to practice, but it's so worthwhile. Yeah. But I'd go to my little bedroom, and I'd sit there and I'd pray, and I'd hear at the end, always at the end, after about 20 minutes, I'd hear this voice as clear as yours, Mary, if you want to live, leave. Well, that didn't make any sense to me. My ex was not a physically abusive person. I had no reason to fear that he would kill me. But I didn't realize that the death was a spiritual death. If I had remained with him, I would not be talking to you today. I might be alive, but I would not be the Mary that people know. And the people who know me from that, I would not be living. My soul would have died. So there are a lot of ways that God speaks to us. It could be a butterfly. It could be a bird.
Yeah, I see those all the time. They land on my car when I'm driving on the highway. I'm like, little butterfly. I'm
going somebody's got a message for you. That's not common.
It's always yellow butterflies, by the way.
Wow.
Always yellow.
Look up what that means.
I'm going to have to. I'm very big into looking at my dreams.
My dreams are spirit animal.
Yeah, I think it is. Since I was like 14, which is when my, 13, 14 was when my parents got divorced. And ever since then, it's been these little yellow butterflies everywhere. Like in the middle of winter, too. I'm like, what the heck? Where are you coming from?
Well, you know what? I looked it up. The butterfly is about powerful transformation, metamorphosis, moving through different life cycles, renewal and rebirth, lightness of being, playfulness, elevation from earthly matters, turning into emotional or spiritual, the world of the soul and the psyche. And it's also about finding joy and lightness.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. I'm going to dig into it. It's so weird when things happen like that, but they happen over and over again, you know, and you're just like, what?
My youngest son's totem is crows. And for him, he always, when he's having a big life event, he'll see three crows. This has happened since he was 3 years old.
That is so cool. That is crazy cool.
There's power in the number three, too.
Oh, yeah. Mind, body, spirit.
Yeah. I love talking about all this stuff. It's just so, there's so much that we don't pay attention to as humans. And if we would just open up. If we would shut our mouths, open our ears.
I know.
Close our eyes and open our minds, we could. Mm-hmm. Experience so much more.
And
the majority of my spiritual growth happened as I was getting my divorce, because it was almost as if God said, I need you for something, and you're not going to achieve that sitting here. We got to get you out of this place quick.
Yeah, God's like, I gave you the signs.
Oh, how many signs, how many.
Yeah.
And the signs are different for every person.
Oh, yeah. So different. It's what we choose to see, what we choose to be open to receiving, that is, you know, I think the biggest thing with most people when they get caught, even in friendships that are really toxic and, it's really just an ego thing, because we're like, oh, we didn't pick the perfect right person for ourselves. You know, we take it back to us. Like, you know, oh, this was my choice to be with this person. You're telling me like I made the wrong decision. And I think if you get past that, then you can see the bigger picture with like, you know, you were saying the signs. Where it's like, hey, these are clear signs that are happening. Get over your ego, leave it at the door, and look, I'm trying to save you, you know?
Well, sometimes I think we can look at the people that are not healthy for us as lessons or teachers. And sometimes mm-hmm. we look at them as students. You know, we may be there to teach yeah. them something.
Yeah, and it's not always our, like, journey that, you know, we're involved in. I mean, it is if you let it, but sometimes it's somebody else's. It's awesome.
Well, I had a situation one time where I went to work where most people would have stayed home. And yeah. I was talking to a coworker about it, and I said, I just don't understand why God keeps sending me all these, you know, why am I getting these lessons? Because you think in terms, biblically especially.
oh, yeah.
God sends you trials and tribulations to teach you. What yeah. do I need to learn? What more can I learn at this point in my life? And this woman right. looked at me so softly. She said, Mary, you're not here to learn necessarily. You may be here to teach. I'm like, whoa. you just taught me that even when your house almost burns down, that doesn't mean you can't still get up and go to work. That's what happened. My house nearly
yeah.
burned.
Jeez.
And
oh my gosh.
My kids got to school. I got to work. My ex got to work on time. Everybody went about our business and just, we took care of it. We didn't go, oh, yeah. I need a day off because my house caught fire. No, that's
yeah.
not. But, I mean, seriously, I should have taken the day off.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But, hey, you never know. Like, someone might have needed that to see that strength in you in that
yeah.
moment.
That's
and, like, I think that's a lot
me.
Of the times. Oh, yeah. And a lot of the times I think, like, when we're talking about religiously, we're taught to – you know, just serve and serve and serve until, you know, even when our cup is dry. And so that can be sometimes a hard thing to balance is like, you know, like you said, like I should have taken the day off, you know, but it wasn't your lesson that day. You know, it was probably someone else, just someone you probably didn't realize that you touched by even that story later on in life, you know, or
right.
someone's like, it just spoke to them in that moment. But it can be hard because, you know, learning the balance of like self-care and like just, and that's why intuition is just such a good thing to tap into, is knowing like, you know what, this is okay to serve in this moment. And then the opposite is, you know what, this is
yeah.
okay to take care of me in this moment, you know, and do this other thing that maybe, you know, just serves me.
I know
hard.
This is probably going to, it's probably going to sound really weird and cold, but I think COVID might be here as a lesson in balance for all of us.
So much has happened since then, like lessons on lessons and different, just so many levels of like things, you know.
Well, I think
have
it
you
also,
noticed that?
Yes, it's very polarizing. If
yeah.
you've got, you know, you've got people who insist on vaccinations, those who insist not to vaccinate. You got people who think
yeah.
that masks are stupid. You've got people who wear three or four.
Yeah.
So everybody has their opinion. But I think
yeah.
one thing that it has taught us mostly, I mean, there are still some fringe people, but the majority of people are like, you know what? You believe what you believe. I believe something different,
yeah.
but that doesn't mean we can't still be friends.
Yeah, like just living in
I've seen a lot of that.
Like, yeah, I have too. And it's, you know, but I also think it's what people choose to see, because I know of some people and I've seen some people on both, you know, extremes that still just driving at home. And it's like, you know, that's just a choice to see that. You know, and we all have a choice to kind of like love one another, but it's weird because love has so many different meanings, right? But like love in a way of like just like a parent to a kid, where it's like
yes.
just loving from a place of like neutrality, where it's like, hey, like, you know, I might not agree with your decision, but it's okay. Like, I support you still. And like, I understand that, you know, your reality is different from mine.
Uh-huh.
And because we all make decisions based on our childhood. I mean, not the deep dive there, but like, you know, it really is just all from how we were raised. And so someone's childhood and background and ideologies and their pillars of just who they are and their identity are so polarizing to someone else. You know, we all have different experiences. That
well, just like,
and yep, go ahead.
Just like the example of the frogs. You know,
yeah.
I thought they were absolutely a plague on earth, and I wanted nothing to do with them. And I know that there are a lot of people who go, oh, they're so cute. And they are.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of perspective. And that mm-hmm. probably went back to my childhood. I had four brothers. So
yeah.
who knows what
like
they did with frogs when I was around.
Right.
You know, you were speaking about love a second ago. Did you know that the vibration of peace is higher than the vibration of unconditional love?
Huh. Wow.
Think about that. If you can love someone or something unconditionally and you live that all of your life, that's a pretty cool feeling. Because you know, things don't affect you as if you were kind of a hardliner as far, well, I love you, except I love you if only. But if you can love without
right,
condition,
but...
In the vibration of peace is just like one step above that. And that is that is my goal. My aim in life is to achieve that vibration on a regular basis. I get moments of it. Usually when I'm sitting on the couch with my cat purring on my lap, there's no TV. I'm just sitting there, just in the zone, the Zen zone. But then all of a sudden the cat moves and breaks the spell. It's very fleeting, but it is such a delightful vibration to feel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's stillness. That's why.
Yes.
It's like
be
settled.
Still,
like, mm-hmm.
Be still and know that I am.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people don't understand the I am.
Mm.
Because really and truly it... We all are. I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am me.
Yeah.
You am you. He am he.
Yeah.
You know, it's a matter of existence. We tend to be people. What a human. We're supposed to be humans being, not humans doing.
Mm.
And I find that when I can get to that point, I manifest so much more. And so much easier and faster. But there's got to be some work applied to manifesting, too. And we talked about that earlier. You didn't get to where you are without that hustle.
Oh, no. I think that's the thing. Right now, for some reason, not for some reason, but people are, you know, leaning more into, like, you know, hustle culture and how they're not leaning into it. They're kind of, like, running away from it. And I agree to a sense, you know, like having the badge, like team no sleep, you know, like, oh, I've worked 5 days in a row and I haven't gotten any sleep and I haven't eaten or take care of myself. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
But it's not that hustle. It's the intentional hustle. It's, you know, knowing when you need to put the blinders on and do the work, but being smarter about it, not working harder necessarily, which takes, like you said, being still. Being in that peace vibration, being able to absorb and listen, to be obedient to the next step and to be led where you need to go, not to take it in your own hands and lead yourself. And I think that's the season I'm in right now. It's continuing as a hustler. It's hard to continue to just be led and not do all the things. Focus on one and, you know, ask for guidance, you know, be obedient to whatever you're called to do in that moment of what that step looks like. And not just doing the hustle to do the hustle, you know,
exactly.
It's hard.
I used to say, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And
right, exactly.
And, you know, I thought that I was being productive. I thought that was a clever thing to say. But I have been way more productive when I started getting 8 hours of sleep. Seven and a half is almost, not just lying in bed for 8 hours. I won't do that. If I wake up and I can't go back to sleep, which is rare, I mean, I typically stay in bed all night long. There are some nights because of my age that I have to get up and go find a little bathroom. But other than that, you know, and it's not hard to immediately drop back into a sound sleep. Although I've got to explore, we talked about dreams earlier. I've got to explore this one dream I've been having. I don't know who it is. There's a guy that keeps coming into my dreams. I've got to figure out who he is, what his symbolism is. I mean, I know what the symbolism of a strange man in your dream is, but there's something familiar about this person, and I don't know what it is, and I've got to do some exploration, but I've been dreaming about it for the last couple of nights, and it could just be the haunted house that I was working. That could very well be. Yeah, just
you know,
seeing
something
a lot
I learned about dreams and people in our dreams is we don't actually make up any kind of faces. And so, like, you know, like when, you know, you're in a dream and you have all these people and you're like, they look familiar. I don't know who they are, but, or like, it's like, oh, it was my family, but it wasn't really my family. It was like someone else, you know, it's like someone else's face. What I learned that was really cool is like all the faces we have in our dreams. And I mean, it might be creepy to some people, but they're strangers that we see and our subconscious picks up in passing on a day to day.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, like, it's weird when you start to think about it, because now you're going to think about this strange man. It's like, okay, well, fixate on his face. What does he look like? You know, and it might be from you doing that haunted house. It could be someone that has come by a few times, you know,
right.
Or maybe somebody that, you know, maybe is even working there. You just don't recognize who it is. And it's so weird that our subconscious is so powerful, which is why, you know, what your wallpaper is on your phone, what songs you're listening to, you know, what you have hung up around your house, who you follow on social media, you know, you might think it's harmless, but our subconscious is powerful and our dreams will tell us what is going on. If you pay attention.
And I want to tell everybody who's listening, even if it's a family member that is not helping you serve in your highest capacity, get rid of them.
Oh yeah.
It's hard.
Oh yeah.
I've had to do that with a couple of family members. I just disappear them.
Yeah.
I block them or take them, you know. And it these are always people that only interact with me on social media. So it's not it's not like somebody who's in my day-to-day life. because I couldn't handle
that. I've had to do
that
recently with friends. I mean, that's something that and they were in my day-to-day life. And I mean, the best advice I could give somebody that's having to do that is first, you know, congratulate yourself that you've acknowledged that there's something wrong and that they make you feel a certain type of way, you know, but then the second thing is, you know, send them off with love. And especially if they're in your circle, I mean, I've had to send, you know, a text or two that's hard to write or make a phone call or let somebody know like, hey, listen, I love you so much. But this is, you know, this is not healthy. And it's distracting me and taking from me. And maybe we can come back a little later. It's almost like a breakup. You know, it's like, it's not you, it's me. But like, it is you. You have to protect your energy and your circle. And like you said, even if it's family, you know, no one gets a free pass in your life, no matter who it is, your mama, your daddy, your brother, your cousin, your friend, your neighbor, nobody gets a free pass. People have to show up and be intentional. And they have to watch themselves. You know, you can't just act like whatever you want just because we're related. No. So you have
you don't get the excuse, I'm your sister so I can do this to you.
Exactly.
That doesn't cut it. And I'll tell you something
quality.
That I've done in the last 2 years maybe that has totally transformed my life. You know, when you're driving, there's all these strangers out there on the road. And they've got their own issues. You don't know why this person cut you off in traffic. You don't know if they're on their way to the hospital or the funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea if their grandchild is being born or if they're, you just don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So I used to yell out to myself because nobody else could hear me. You're an idiot. You're a jerk. Stop being a jerk. Get in your own lane. Rah, 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 rah. Yeah, just bark, bark, bark.
Yeah.
Now, I just shoot him the peace sign. And and I say, God bless you. Go with peace because you're obviously in a hurry to get wherever you're going.
Yeah.
And it has totally transformed the way I react in traffic, which that way, you know, when I get to my destination, I don't jump out the car. You won't believe the traffic I just went through. I just get out the car smiling and let's go. What are we doing today?
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you step in crap, you don't follow it around with you all day and revisit why you stepped in the crap or how you stepped in the crap or how you could avoid it next time or why what consistency
just
the crap
brush
is.
It off your shoe and keep on going.
Exactly. Send them with love and what is it like? That's why the hug and hustle thing is like hug and keep it moving.
Yep. You got to. And I think that's a cool name, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Do you know the story behind that, by the way?
I do, but tell it to our listeners, please.
Okay, so it's so random to talk about like manifestation, the power of spirit and like, you know, listening to your intuition. I was on a Zoom call and like this coaching call and this lady had said something. I don't even think she was supposed to speak, but she accidentally like unmuted herself or something. And she went to speak and she leaned in and I could see on her shirt. And in my view, it looked like it said hugs and hustle on her shirt. And then I like clicked on her picture to make it bigger. And the shirt didn't, I don't even know what it said, but it did not say hugs, nor did it say hustle.
Oh, wow.
So the only thing it had was the N, but it started with an H. I can't even remember what it was. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Cause I remember thinking, I was like, hugs and hustle, so cute. And I wrote it down. And then after it was like 3 or 4 months later, I started doing like, you know, leaning more into coaching. And then I needed a name and I was like, oh, hugs and hustle. Like, that's so cute. And then now it's, you know, my business name. And it's so funny because if you just, like you said, pay attention and just open your eyes.
That was like, a sign just for you.
Right.
Other people who saw her shirt wouldn't have read Hugs and Hustle.
No.
I love that.
I don't know what was going on that day, but I was like, wow, that's crazy. But it's just, it goes to show, like, just be open to receiving and show up and do the work. Because, I mean, this coaching program wasn't something that I even really lasted in. I didn't even really like it. But I needed to be in that call. And that girl
to
needed
see
to
that
actually
sign.
Unmute herself. Yep, exactly. Just to see that. So
well,
it's
that's
powerful.
Like the Be Unique name. Jennifer and I were having lunch, and we were just having a grumpy old lady conversation, basically. You know, what? Our lives weren't going where we wanted them to, and we were trying to figure out how to put them on track. So we went out to lunch, and we were brainstorming, and we said, why don't we make a magazine? Well, Be Unique is so much more than just a magazine. But that was how we were going to start. And so we said, well, what would we call it? And we threw out a couple of names, and they were like, no, I'd write them down and scratch them off as soon as I wrote them down. That doesn't look right.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we both stopped eating. We looked across the table, and you know how you lean in when you want somebody to really hear you. We both leaned forward and said, well, whatever we do, it has to be unique. And we knew that was the name of the magazine. But we couldn't name it like the words Be Unique. We had to spell it differently.
Right.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be very unique.
Exactly.
But, you know.
Awesome. But that's how it goes, though.
That is. That's exactly how it goes. You just open your eyes. Oh, no, I had it right a minute ago. Close your mouth and open your ears. Close your eyes and open your mind. I'm going to have to write that down so
you're
I can
have
remember.
To write that down.
I really like that. But that's really what you have to do to get the life that you want. Once you learn how that we're all created as seeds of God, we can grow into God. And that's ultimately our journey. You know, by the time we finish here, we'll be back home.
Right. Exactly. That's what the life, even in the Bible, it's like, you know, be as much as you can be following Jesus. And it's like,
yeah.
try to lean into his teachings. And, you know, he was a perfect person, so nobody can be like that. But the whole journey of life is to try and, you know, work those muscles of those different habits of loving people through hardships and community and but also, like, you know, loving yourself. And so it's all of these lessons that, you know, and that's why people, you know, you never arrive. Ever.
No.
And if somebody
no.
in your circle says they've arrived, run.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was actually the coffin nail of my dead marriage. Mm. When my ex looked at me, I was actually praying the night that I made up my mind to leave him. And he knew that I was praying, and I couldn't get him to stop harassing me. So I started praying out loud. And he just jumped in. He said, "You don't know who God is. I'm the only one who serves the one true God." I'm like, holy moly, moly, moly.
You're like, oh, Lord, if you're going to strike him down, get me out of this house first.
And no, actually, I didn't do that. I just said, "Jesus, help me. I can't do this alone." And gosh almighty, the help I got. I had an out-of-body experience. I saw him as he was. I saw me as I was. It wasn't a pretty picture.
Yeah.
And then I remembered the Bible verse. I don't think it was Ezekiel, but that's the only thing I can think of right now, where God said, "I will plant a hedgerow of protection around you."
Mm.
And in my mind, every time I had read that, I thought, oh, holly bushes, they're prickly. Well, that was not the protection I got. I actually saw and heard these amazing crystals of light come down out of my ceiling, and they formed like a semicircle. And God said, "I promise you, I will help you. I will take you home if you just trust me." And I said, "God, I trust you." And that was when he said that he was the one who served the one true God. And I said, "I don't know what to do." He said, "Come to me." So I went, I felt my spirit move over into that enclosure, and it closed completely around me over the top of my head.
Yeah.
My spirit, not my body. My body was still stuck on the couch. But at that moment, he had been stroking my arm because he thought he had defeated me. Because I was a wreck.
Oh, yeah.
And his emotional abuse had taken its toll, you know. But he was stroking my arm saying, "It's okay. We're going to be okay. You're going to be all right." Because he thought he had won. And when I gave myself to God at that moment, the closure sealed him for me. And he jerked away with a gasp like, "Ow, that hurt." And to this day, I see him on occasion at weddings and funerals and whatnot. And he cannot touch me if I don't reach out to him first.
Yeah, I love that. It's so powerful.
And I still have that protection around me. And it's up to me whether I want to reach out to somebody or not. And it has served me well. Makes me invisible when I need it to be.
Oh, yeah. Spiritual warfare is so real, and we have to protect ourselves, not physically, but also mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I do like this, I close my eyes and imagine myself just like zipping myself up in like this magical bag.
Yeah.
From toe to my head all the way up, and just especially going into situations where, you know, there's going to be a lot of different people I don't know, you know, to protect myself from anything kind of jumping to me or, you know, someone touching that it's so crazy how real that is, like physical touch. And you can feel it, you know, it's like, ooh, no thank you.
Well, it's the intention.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, you know, the faith that our intention will be honored. And it's that way with manifesting. It's just a matter of intention. I intend for this to happen to my life. And I believe that it's coming. I believe that I deserve it. And so it is, you know, and it's that way with
exactly,
protecting
yeah.
ourselves. A lot of people mm-hmm. like to carry obsidian with them when they're going into a strange situation, or they'll wear some other
yeah.
kind of gemstone or crystal of protection, which I do usually
as
a backup. But I also know that I don't need that. I can go
right.
stark naked. Trust me, that'll make everybody run away. But but no, it's a matter of just knowing that you're wearing the armor of protection of that we've been promised.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
as long as we accept that we can wear that armor, and it's the one, it's kind of a one size fits all, because my armor will fit you if you ask for it.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
don't have to give you my armor. It's not, you know.
Right.
One size fits all and always ever expanding. That's what I love about it.
Exactly.
There's no limit to the amount.
It's like the candlelight metaphor where it's like, you know,
yes.
my, you know, me lighting another candle isn't going to dim my light.
That's
you
right.
know? Or however that saying goes, but it's the same thing where it's like we can all light each other. And it's just like leaning into other people's strengths. And not necessarily other people, but, you know, spirit, and just leaning into someone else's strengths and being where it's like, you know, God, I need you. I'm open to receiving it. And even with all of that, it's like, it's the baseline is just like release and receive, you know, it's
right.
not about like coming to it with like needy energy almost. It's just coming to it with like, almost like a subtle confidence where it's like, you just speak it into existence. Like you said, like, I know it, I speak it, it is, you know.
Exactly.
It's the same kind of thing.
And I have found that I don't necessarily even need to speak it as much as
yeah.
think it.
Yeah.
And that has taken me a while, because I've always been a talker, as you can tell. But I like to talk, I like to think. When I read, I like to read, not... Well, I do like to read out loud, but I also, when I'm reading silently, I read slowly enough that I can hear myself reading it. But this is something really relatively new to me, but I've learned that I can talk so much more to God if I shut up.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughts are
oh, yeah.
still there, but I don't have to be actively thinking them for the thoughts
right,
and the
or like
love.
Trying to put it in the right order and let it come
oh,
out correctly
my gosh.
Or it's wrong.
Victoria, you just spurred another thought. We were talking earlier about gratitude and how I like to mm-hmm. recite my list of gratitudes when I go to bed. One night I was having a hard time going to sleep, and I probably mm-hmm. recited 36 things. I was like, I'm grateful for this and that and the other and da 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 da. And I heard
yeah.
a voice, Mary, I know you're grateful. You tell me mm-hmm. every night. I hear you. I understand you. You don't
yeah.
have to tell me every single night. Could you mm-hmm. just be with me? And
mm-hmm.
I got excited. I was like, oh, God just spoke to me. Yes, I can do
yeah.
this. I can be with you. Let me see. Should I sit
yeah.
up? Should I go get dressed in something formal? Should I put on my shoes? Should I go to the couch? Should I go to the other bedroom? Let me fluff the pillow. And he just laughed at me like you're laughing. Because he
oh
knows who
goodness.
I am. He was like,
yeah.
Mary, please be quiet. Just be. Just be.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about me. I'm here. I'm always here.
Yeah.
I just want you to exist. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a deep, deep breath. I think I had to take 5 before I calmed down my manic expression of love, you know. And
yep.
I had the best night's sleep of my life since I was a baby.
Wow.
I've tried to emulate that. It's difficult. But
yeah.
I try to do that again and again. And I've had a couple of good nights of slipping into that existence. It's just,
yeah.
it's so hard to turn off the thought process. But
oh,
if we
yeah.
can do that, boy, oh boy, that's where the magic is, I think. It's just right there in that.
Oh, yeah.
I am.
Mm-hmm. Being still. Right. You know what really helps that I've learned about anxiety, too, is, like you said, you took 5 deep breaths. And doing that kind of, like, you know, learning about breath work is really important because it stops the thinking cycle in your brain when you switch up your breathing. Especially when you take deep breaths, it like just cancels it out and it allows you to start over in your thought process.
Yeah.
And that helps me when I sleep, like you said, just like being still, taking deep breaths and just like receiving is like, that helps me get to sleep because it's hard to turn our brains off. Our brains are like constantly going, especially if you have any kind of anxiety, it's like nonstop.
And, you know, the beautiful thing is God knows how he created us.
Oh, yeah.
He knows which ones of us are anxious. And like, he tells me constantly, you are my class clown. This is not audition night. He can't have to keep reminding me, I'm not taking auditions today. I already know you got the part. Just shut up.
Yeah. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy who you are. And it's hard to enjoy who you are if you're anxious. But if we can remember that that's also to help us learn something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could talk to you like I could talk to your mom forever. You know, you guys are, you come from an amazing stock of women, let me tell you. But I can't because time has been up. I think we're pushing into, 11 minutes overtime. Lovely. 11. I like that. I have to have you come back sometime. This was fun.
Yes, I totally enjoyed this. Let me know. Cause I, like you said, I talked to you forever and I love all these subjects are just so, liberating to be able to discuss openly with people and especially people who also share faith. It's really nice.
I love that people, they don't necessarily call in to the live shows, but they email me and tell me they've listened, and that's important.
Oh, awesome.
I have one person who sometimes she'll be listening live and she'll text me. She didn't today, but she'll text me something to let me know that she's there. And she always tells me she really likes my live shows because she learns more when I have a guest on than when I'm just sitting here doing the pre-recorded manifest lessons. But it's okay.
It's always nice to hear like a back and forth.
Yeah. And you're really good. You've got a lot going. May I ask how old you are?
I'm 26 years old.
Holy moly. I was given birth when I was 26.
I hope they got a couple more years before any kids, Lord willing. But
no, but you know, no, I'm
my
I'm
grandma
just,
always
I'm
said
just,
the best birth control is a coaster between your knees.
Yeah, my mother, we were raised Catholic, so she didn't believe in the pill. She said the only time you can use the pill is if you hold it right there between your knees.
Yeah,
she didn't appreciate us using it. But I was just sitting here thinking, you're 26. And I was giving birth when I was 26, and that was 40 years ago. Not for the entire year, but just one day. But I'm just trying to think where I was at that point in my spiritual growth. I was clinging on for dear life, I think.
Yeah.
And you really are amazing that you've gotten as far as you have, as quickly as you have. And oh, man. I hope I live long
it's
enough
definitely
to talk
to all
you.
Thanks to God.
Yes. Let's see, 40 years from now. I'm trying to think. I was thinking if I could talk to you when you're my age, 40 years from now, I will be 66 and 40. I'll be 106. So maybe we'll have to talk way before
then. It's possible. Yeah.
You know, it is possible. I have
you
a cousin.
I'm my first kid. How about that?
That sounds good. I hope we talk before then. I really do.
Yeah.
But I have a cousin who is 106 this year. And
oh, wow.
Female longevity runs in my family. So I had a conversation with God one day. I said, look, if I'm going to live to be old, you're going to have to help me. So we got to work on this body. We got to work on this stamina, the strength. And he just laughed and he says, can't do it without you, girlfriend.
Right. Take that action.
I can't
see that
just
as a sign. You said 40 years and it's 106 and your cousin turned 106 today. That's going to happen.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, Lord, I got to start walking more. Which is another reason to get off the show. Darling, I have learned to love you even more than I thought I would. You are a delight, and
I
look forward to meeting you in person soon.
Yes.
All right.
We'll all have to go get lunch.
I don't live far from your grandma.
Oh, really? I live in New Smyrna Beach, but I'm up in Space Coast all the time now.
I live in Merritt Island, not far. Let's see.
Cool.
You turn at her house, and then you take one more turn, and you're at my house. Or in my neighborhood. Your mom knows.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna advertise all that on the air. But yeah, I'm like, I could walk to your grandmother's house if I would ever get up off my butt and start walking. That might be my new goal.
Well, next time I'm out there, I'll let you know. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
I would love that.
This week, every morning, and it's helped a lot.
Well, I know your mom walks a lot, and she's looking fabulous.
All the time. I'll tell her to tune in so she can hear that.
I'm surprised she didn't call in.
I know.
But it's
she had a meeting today at like 11, I believe. So I think
right when we started the show. Well, I am delighted that we met this much and talked as much as we have. And I definitely need to say goodbye because it's now 12:16 and I've been trying to say goodbye for 5 minutes. Love you, girlfriend. Bye.
Love you, too.
Thank you for tuning in to Be Unique's Manifest Monday Show. I hope you'll follow Be Unique on Blog Talk Radio so you can be informed every time a new episode drops. I'm here every Monday at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time when we talk about manifesting and how you can become a manifest master too. Until next time, this is Mary saying so long.